When I first began teaching in the 1970s, every summer's announcement of courses for grade teachers would always call the fifth grade year the golden year, or the year of harmony, or the year of balance. I don't know if that continues in the catalogs. Often the titles don't get changed from year to year. But I think anybody who's been in that realm for some period of time lately would know that there's very little golden about it, there's very little harmonious about it, and there's almost nothing balanced about this fifth grade year. Of all of the grades, it's perhaps the one that seems to have changed most profoundly over the past few years, and particularly with the onset of the 21st century. Now, there are some reasons for this, and some of them are quite obvious. One of the most obvious ones is that very likely your fourth graders got their first dose of media in a big way. It might have been suddenly starting to go to movies with or without their parents. Very likely for boys, it was being given their first video game player, Xbox or Wii, or getting to play video games on a computer. For the girls, it might have been being allowed to get onto social media, or at least to email each other and text each other. And certainly, these media exposures do a lot to awaken a child, sometimes in a very dark way, sometimes in a very negative way. Sometimes it helps a shy child come out of herself a little bit as she feels more social, or it helps a boy who's a bit timid suddenly feel really strong and aggressive as he hunts down enemies in the deep forests of cyberspace. But in any case, whatever its effect on any one particular child, it has gone a long way into shaking the once harmonious tree of the fifth grade year and bringing a lot of the fruit down still green. We also know that physiologically children are changing with remarkable speed, and that whereas when I was teaching in the last third of the 20th century, through the 70s and 80s, puberty came to Waldorf girls in 7th or even 8th grade. Now, 5th grade is when it comes for many. Some of them already started going through it in 4th grade. Physically, physiologically, they're going through it. But they have not yet assumed the emotional maturity, which can only come as the astral body really unfolds as soul forces within the child. So here we have anything but balance. We have instead a tremendous discordance, a disharmony between what is going on physically and what the child is able to muster up on the level of soul to meet it. The boys aren't developing that quickly, but they're too. Especially through sports, through having joined perhaps a hockey league or a soccer league or little league in fourth grade, which is often when that occurs, even over and above the teacher's objections, there again, something more trained, something more fixed has arisen in the child's nature. So we have a host of socially induced changes occurring for which the 1919 Waldorf curriculum was not designed. We are meeting a different child. So of course the question comes, should we just junk the curriculum, grades 5 to 8, and start from square one and do something that really meets today's child? I would suggest, and I will be suggesting this throughout the conference, that it's not a matter of just tossing out the baby with the bathwater, but rather recognizing that Rudolf Steiner gave us a curriculum which is inherently capable of transformation and evolution. After all, Steiner's the great evolutionist among all spiritual teachers, and he certainly wanted to give teachers materials that in their hands, through their work, would be capable of always meeting the needs of children for, I would say, approximately 1,000 years. So we're still a bit at the ground floor. We're not even quite at the 100th year yet. So I want to give you, in these discussions about the fifth grade child, want to give you a feeling for a new way of looking at the child. You know, let's leave Golden and Harmonious out of it and see if Steiner's given us any other images that we can use to help us understand the child and, no less importantly, actually do something of value pedagogically with this child. So I'd like to direct your attention to an image that you have as a PDF. And this is the south violet window from the Goetheanum. Has nothing to do with Waldorf education whatsoever, at least at the outset. In the many artistic contributions that Rudolf Steiner made to the first Goetheanum, and which were carried over into the second Goetheanum after the first one burned down, the least known are the 9 colored glass windows that Rudolf Steiner designed and which were executed. The images that Steiner gave for these windows were etched into the thick slabs of colored glass by the Russian artist Asya Turgenev using a diamond-tipped dentist drill. So we have a 1 red window, 2 green, 2 blue, 2 violet, and 2 peach blossom windows. And these windows are very much about the individual path of initiation through the contemporary world. The south violet window, if you look right in the dead center, the upper part, you'll see a very odd-looking figure there, a two-headed being. And we could say that this is very much like the Roman god Janus, the god who could look forward and back, and therefore January, the New Year's month, is aptly named after him. But Steiner's image is not of the god per se, but rather of the human being at the time that he calls the cosmic midnight hour. And he says that in this window, he is showing the human being who is halfway between the last death and the life to come, a journey which Steiner says classically would be 1,000 years. Undoubtedly, it is happening much faster, and that's another reason that everything seems to be speeding up, particularly in the life of today's children. They may not have had enough time in the spiritual world. And our work as Waldorf teachers is to try to compensate for the time that they did not fully have to process their former life or lives. So this Janus figure is looking back at a group of people to his right, and they are his karmic group with whom he is destined to incarnate again and again until they've worked everything out. And then in his left hand, we see that he is dropping a drop onto the waiting parents who are there. And these are actually not just his parents, but they represent the whole hereditary line. He still may have a few hundred years before he's born, but he is creating the right hereditary line so that he can incarnate the right way and have the body he needs to fulfill his karma in the next lifetime. So Janus, looking back and looking forward at the same moment. It's the same experience at once. Past and future become a kind of eternal present for this being. And you will also notice that his garb, if it is indeed garb, is all plant matter. He's wrapped in leaves, or we could say he's arising out of those leaves, or like the famous ancient British figure of the green man, he is a plant. He's a plant man. That is to say, he is filled with powerful etheric forces, formative forces, which allow themselves to be molded out of the intentions of solving karmic issues, and which in turn will mold the physical body for that same purpose. So this is an etheric being, two-headed, looking back and looking forward. And I would say that in this south violet window, we see the picture of today's fifth grader, who is in a way, in fifth grade, re-experiencing this cosmic midnight hour, and stands very, very strongly poised between the karma of her parents, out of which she has been brought into the earth, which has in a way been carrying her in its womb, in its arms, in its car, along the way for these years, and which is in the next couple of years going to give way to the child's own karma. So that's another aspect of this Janus being. I'm going to develop all of these thoughts, so don't be alarmed if you feel that your head is spinning, that you feel like you're the two-headed Janus yourself. But I would say it's critical for us not just to go into fifth grade and say, whatever happened to those golden children, but to, as it were, be able to see them as powerfully twofold beings, living always poised between past and future. Though I would say for the first two-thirds to three-quarters of the year, up to about Easter time, the dominant image of the child is the head that's looking back. And a good deal of what we do in grade five has to do with this long, longing backward look. So one could see, if this picture is at all accurate, well, what sorts of things might a fifth grader want to learn? They're plant-like in nature. They are plants. Learning about plants. So we have botany. Taking a long, long backward look towards previous lives. Ancient cultures. A way of looking at the past, we might say, at the karma of the earth itself. So these are some of the thoughts that we're going to carry a little bit further as I go on to the second part of our look at the fifth grader.